begin with a word of prayer. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee in this morning hour, giving Thee our heartfelt thanks and praise and honor to Thy most glorious name for who Thou art and all the things, Lord, that Thou dost do. Lord, moment by moment, throughout all time, Father, Thou art glorious, and we give Thee the thanks and the praise and the honor. Lord, so we just pray Thee that now as we would read Thy precious word of life, and as we would meditate upon it, that Thy Holy Spirit would be present among us and that He would speak to us, Lord, and that we would be faithful to hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit and follow through. Lord, we just pray Thy blessings upon each and every one as we pray this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For this morning's reading, let's turn to the Gospel of John and read chapter number 17. Gospel of John, chapter 17.
Bratje naše, da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz Svetog Evanđelja po Jovanu, 17. glava. Sveto Evanđelje po Jovanu, 17. glava.
These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, and those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which have believed on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his Father. The Bible says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That statement alone carries the believer through, that we know that despite what goes on in our lives round about us, despite the things that we encounter, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The trust that we have in him and the faith that we display and that we anchor in Jesus Christ, that anchor of our faith gives us justification. And through that faith, we have that peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a blessing. It is a great thing that we have as believers, that we can have this peace with God, knowing that there's no condemnation. We have a peace with him. We are one with him. He loves us. He cares for us. And he is with us. And so we have that blessing. And let's always remember that we have that peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This past Wednesday, we read in Hebrews chapter 10 and spoke there of a new and living way in Jesus Christ. A new and living way. This is what we have been called to. It is what brings us to this peace that we have with God in this new and living way in Jesus Christ. And so we portray Christ, we depict Christ by this new and living way that we walk in, guided by the Holy Spirit, delivered from sin, kept from evil, and we are walking in this new and living way, being Jesus Christ here upon this earth. It's not always easy being Jesus Christ here upon this earth, but we are not to compromise of who Jesus Christ is, but we are faithfully to depict or portray Jesus Christ. We are to live for him. We will not change the government. Neither did Jesus Christ. That wasn't why Jesus Christ here came here upon this earth. He didn't come to change Caesar Augustus' way or King Herod's way or Pontius Pilate's ways. But he came to glorify his Father and to give life unto all men. And we likewise are to glorify the Lord. And we are to live for him. And we are to portray or be that light in that new and living way in Jesus Christ. It can be daunting to think that we are to portray Jesus Christ, that we are to be the depiction of Jesus Christ. That can be daunting. But when we are weak, then we are strong. Then we are strong. The Bible says that if any man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. We are never to think of ourselves as that we are something or that we have this great ability to depict or portray Jesus Christ. It is by his grace and by his faithfulness that we can be faithful to him in this new and living way and portray Jesus Christ. We read here this chapter this morning, and I'm very confident that I will not give it the justice that it deserves. But nevertheless, let us consider these words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to his Father. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would speak to each and every one of you, and that he would be faithful, and that he would do far and above that which I would be able to speak on, and that we would recognize this great love that the Father has for us and that Jesus has for us and their communion, their desire to have communion with us and his great keeping power that he has in us when we keep his word. So it begins here by saying that these words spake Jesus. Jesus spoke these words, so it was audible that he had this prayer and he prayed it in their presence, in the presence of the disciples, so they can see what it is of what he's praying for and how he addresses the Father. And so we have this blessing today that we also can actually be there in presence as well and hear what it is that the Lord Jesus Christ hath prayed to his heavenly Father. So he lifts his eyes to heaven and says, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. This was the desire that Jesus Christ had. This was how he began his prayer, that he would be glorified and that the Lord and the Father would be glorified as well. And we can see throughout the mission that Jesus Christ had here upon this earth that he was continuously glorifying the Father, pointing to the Father. And a couple chapters before, he's telling them, he says, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Jesus Christ should be glorified. And it was in his death that Jesus Christ was going to be glorified. And he speaks to them that saying that except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And then he says, Father, glorify thy name. In the presence of those that were there, he speaks audibly. He says, Father, glorify thy name. And he was asking that the time had come that he would be glorified. And now he's saying, Father, glorify thy name. And a thunderous voice comes from heaven and says, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And so they were continuously giving glory to each other, Jesus to the Father and the Father to Jesus Christ. They glorified each other continuously. And he says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who he hath sent. This is life eternal. And it begins now, when we know who Jesus Christ is, and know that the Father hath sent him. This is life eternal. When we look back at the previous chapter, Jesus told his disciples, you know, there's going to come a time when the people are going to cast you out of the synagogue and they're going to kill you. And by doing that, they think that they are serving God. But Jesus Christ says, they do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. They didn't know him. But we know him because he has given unto us eternal life, and we believe him to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the one who would buy us back to the Father. And so we see here in these other verses here in chapter 17 where he says, and now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. We, the disciples, have known that all things that were given to Jesus Christ are of the Father. They have seen that, and they testify to that. And he says further, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me. We know, the disciples knew, and we know through the basis of their testimony and through the scriptures, that Jesus Christ was sent of the Father. And we believe in him, and we trust in him, and we glorify his name. There was a time earlier recorded in John's Gospel where he says, then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him. He's speaking now to these Jews which made a confession that, yes, this must be the Messiah. Yes, this must be the Redeemer. If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Knowing his word, knowing the truth, knowing who Jesus is, and abiding in him. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He glorified the Father. He continuously pointed to the Father. He glorified the Father in all things. And the Father responded by saying, when Jesus was baptized, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, likewise, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And so he has glorified the Father on this earth. And likewise, that's our responsibility as well, that we would glorify the Father here upon this earth, that as we portray Christ, as we depict Christ, that we would glorify him, that we would lift up his name, even as the disciples were commanded to do and instructed to do, that we likewise would be instructed in this way to glorify the Father here upon this earth. There was a time when King Herod was before the people, and he was dressed up in all his royal apparel, and he sat upon the throne, and he made an oration to the people. And the people responded, maybe not even sincerely, but responded by saying, "This is not the voice of a man, this is the voice of a God." And he relished in that. And he allowed all that glory to go to himself. And the Bible says that an angel of the Lord came and smote him, and he died, and the worms ate his body, and he gave up the ghost. He didn't give glory to God. He didn't give glory to God. We are here upon this earth to give glory to the Lord. That's our purpose. This is why we were created. This is the purpose of life, to give glory to the Father, even as Jesus Christ gave glory to the Father and blessed his name. We are also here upon this earth that we would glorify the Father, and that we would finish the work which we have been given to do, even as Jesus Christ finished the work which he was given to do. And he says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with the glory, with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Jesus is Alpha and Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting. And he was in glory, and yet he left glory saying, "Here am I, send me to be the redeemer or the savior of the world." And he came here upon this earth, took upon himself flesh and blood, left that glory, and now his work is complete. Now the time has come, as he began this prayer by saying, "Father, the hour has come." It was now time. He had fulfilled that which was he was here upon this earth to fulfill. He had completed those things. And now he's saying, "Father, receive me back into thy presence and restore me the glory that was mine since before the foundation of the world." "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." The disciples kept the word that Jesus Christ brought to them. We are also to keep the word of God. When we keep the word of God, we are kept then by him. He keeps us from evil. He keeps us in his love when we keep his word within our hearts. That we would always remember his word, that we would bring them to mind continuously, that we would walk in the Spirit, and that we would have his Holy Spirit guiding us in all ways. What are the words that Jesus Christ is telling us to keep? What is it? What is his word that we are to keep, that we have kept his word? Is it not that as Jesus Christ began his ministry where he said, "Repent"? Have we kept that commandment? Jesus Christ, his word was, "Deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow me." Are we following in the light of Jesus Christ? His word is that we would forgive one another. That is his word. Are we keeping his word? His word is that we would love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we would love our neighbor as ourselves, and that we would love our enemies likewise. We're being challenged. Are we keeping his word? Are we keeping his word? If we keep his word, we are being kept by him, kept in his love, and kept from evil. His word is that we would do unto others as we would have them do unto us. His word is that we would believe in him. Believe in him. Not that we would trust in man, but that we would trust in the living God. That we would believe in him. That with him all things are possible. His word is that we would serve one another. By serving one another, we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we keeping his word? Perhaps that's the exhortation to us as a church today. Are we keeping his word? We know that when we keep his word, that he keeps us. He keeps us in the palm of his hand. He keeps us in his bosom. He keeps us from evil. He keeps us in his love. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. The disciples have received the word of God from Jesus Christ. And the disciples believed that his word came from the Father. We likewise believe that Jesus Christ was sent from the Father, and that Jesus Christ came not to bring his own doctrine, his own word, but he brought the word of the Father. And have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. This is interesting that Jesus Christ is audibly praying before the disciples, and he's saying these things, that they have believed that thou didst send me. If we go back to the previous chapter, the disciples say that we believe that thou camest forth from God. And so Jesus Christ is here affirming to them their verbalization of their faith in the Lord, that he came forth from God. And so he's confirming that to them, saying they believe that I came forth from the Father. And so they were hearing that, and it confirmed their faith. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. He prayed for them that they would keep the word, because they have received the word. They believe that Jesus Christ came from the Father, and they believed his word. They believed his message. They believed that he was the Messiah. And so he's therefore praying for them that because they are thine. But he says here also, I pray not for the world. But certainly Jesus Christ loved the world, but they didn't receive the word yet. They didn't receive who Jesus Christ was, but he loved them. Certainly he loved them. But here he is specifically praying for his disciples that they would be kept. That they would be kept from evil in the love of God. He says, all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. This is our responsibility, that we would glorify the Lord. And I am now no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, before we move on to that next part of that verse 11, let's speak here of he's saying, I am no more of the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. We were left to be in the world. We were left to be here. We have been ordained of God, chosen of God, created by God to be here. To be here in this time, in this age, in this location. That we would glorify God in where he has placed us. We are in the world. But as we are in the world, he is keeping us from evil. And he is keeping us in his love as we keep his word in our hearts. So let's always remember that. Sometimes we get tired, and we've been through decades perhaps of various things going on in life, and sometimes the sigh is, I just want to go home. But we are here for a reason, and we are here to glorify him, and until he calls us home, that is what we are to do, is to continuously glorify him while we are here upon this earth. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. This is the beautiful prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. He desires us all to be one, all to be one in him, that we would all keep his word that gives us life, that we would all do our various parts, that we would be exercised by the Holy Spirit to give the gifts that have been given unto us to further his kingdom. To further his kingdom and to glorify him here upon this earth. We all have a part. We all have something that has been gifted to us that we can use to glorify God. Some of it seen more than others. Whatever it is, it's okay. It's okay, but we are here to glorify God. And that we might all be one, even to the extent as the Son and the Father are one as well. That as they are one, to that extent, Jesus' prayer for us is that we likewise would be one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, that those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. We have been kept, and Jesus Christ had that keeping power too. And we can read it through the Gospels that perhaps Peter was a little more bold than he needed to be, but yet he was kept. Perhaps Peter lost his faith as he was walking there upon the water, but the Lord kept him. The Lord reached out his hand and kept him as he began to sink. And the Lord desires also to keep us too as our faith begins to sink as well. He wants us to be renewed and drawn close to him and be kept by him. He says, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. To have his joy fulfilled in ourselves. That goes along with that peace that we have with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a joy in the Lord that come what may, whatever the circumstances might be, we can still have that joy in our hearts, that joy in our lives. Again, going back to this previous chapter, he says to them that a little while I won't be with you, then a little while I will be with you. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. So he's telling them, have joy in the Lord. I will be taken away from you, and you will all be scattered, but rejoice. I will be with you again. And so your sorrow shall be turned to joy. And then he says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is truth. This is what we can place our complete faith and confidence in, is that no man can take away our joy from us. No circumstance can take away our joy in the Lord from us. Glory be to the Lord for that promise. He says, hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full. Ask of the Lord that grace and that strength and that blessing, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but that we would have grace day by day to be weak in ourselves but strong in the Lord, that we would be kept in his word, that we would love God, that we would love our neighbor, that we would love our enemies, that we would serve, that we would believe in him, that we would repent where is necessary in our lives to repent, that we would take up the cross, follow him, denying ourselves. When we pray for these things and he gives us grace to do these things and we are not part of this world, we have joy in our hearts. We have joy in our hearts. The last verse of the previous chapter says, Jesus says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. That will happen. You will have tribulation in the world. But he says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Whatever our lot is, or whatever our lot will be, we can have joy in the Lord, because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. I have given unto them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus Christ was not of this world. He says that his kingdom was not of this world. If his kingdom was of this world, then his servants would fight against Pontius Pilate, and he would not have been crucified if his kingdom was of this world. If the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is not of this world, can ours be? Do we want to build a kingdom here, lift up our name? Do we want to have monuments erected with our names on them? Is there something in this world that's more precious to us than the Lord Jesus Christ? We are not of this world. Jesus Christ is not of this world. We are pilgrims passing through. And as we are pilgrims passing through, we are portraying, depicting Jesus Christ by his grace. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of this world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Deception. There is so much deception in this world. There always has been, and there is today. We probably are more aware maybe of some of the deceptions in the world today, but he's saying that his word is truth. His word is truth. There's a phrase called solo scriptura, which means the Bible alone. It is the truth that's necessary for salvation and for our spiritual lives that is found only here in the Word of God. Man cannot add to it. Man cannot take away from it. It is only the Bible alone that gives us the opportunity to have salvation, and for all of our spiritual needs, it's found here in God's Word. And so he's saying here, sanctify them through thy truth, set them apart by the Word of God, that we would know the Word of God, that we would have that relationship with the Lord, that we would know who he is, that he is a God who loves mercy, judgment, and righteousness. And so we are kept by his word. We are kept by him as we keep his word in our hearts, and that being very, very precious to us, that his word is a lamp unto our feet. And it guides us in the ways that we should go. And he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Jesus Christ came here upon this earth to give life. More than just that healing, that physical healing that he gave to so many of their sight or of their ability to walk or cleansing from leprosy or raising from the dead. More than that physical nature, Christ gave unto us the blessing to have that spiritual renewal and to have that hope of eternal life, that our souls would go on throughout all eternity and that we would know him and have that relationship with him as we know him. And so we are here upon this earth, even as Jesus Christ was, to do what God would have us to do, to lift up his worthy name. Last night we sang that song, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and power. Such a powerful song. And we sing these songs from our hearts. We sing these words to glorify God, to glorify him for all the things he has done. And the more we come to read his scriptures and the more we come to understand through the Spirit of that great love that the Father has for us, that the more we just want to lift up his name, the more we want to glorify him, and that more of that peace and that joy that we can have in the Lord. I'm going to skip down to the last few verses and just speak on those quickly and just think of how humbling it is for these verses as we consider them. So humbling it is for us when we think that the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. The glory that the Father has given to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, I have given them that glory. That's very humbling to think of that. That we have received the glory that was given to Jesus Christ by the Father. Another humbling thought is in verse 23 where he says, I in them and thou in me. That Jesus Christ would be in us. This was that new and living way that was prophesied of, that would come, that Christ would be in us. That was a great mystery from before. But now that mystery has been revealed, that Christ would be in us. And again, so that's so humbling of a thought, that Christ would be in us. He says further, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. That's another humbling thought, that Jesus Christ in all of his glory, he who is from everlasting to everlasting, who has glory, who is part of the Trinity, that his strong desire is that we would be with him where he is, that we might behold his glory, that we might be partakers of his glory, that we would come to understand his great glory. That's his desire for us. It wasn't like the rich man and Lazarus, where Lazarus was just one of the crumbs that fell off the table. The rich man didn't want him to be at his table. The rich man wasn't desirous to, Lazarus, come in, be with me at my table, try some of this food. That wasn't what the rich man had in mind. But Jesus has far greater riches, and his desire is that we would be called to him and be with him, that we would behold his glory, and that we would be in his presence. Is that not a humbling thought? Then the last verse says, I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Again, such a humbling thought, that the love of the Father, the love of God that he has for Jesus Christ would also be in us. The depth of that love, the riches of that love, the height, the breadth of that love, it's to be in us. And Jesus is praying the Father, give it to them, Father. Give them that love that you loved me with, and that I would also be in them. Such a humbling thought. And so though it may be daunting, we are here placed upon this earth to glorify the Father and to portray Jesus Christ in everything we do. May the Lord richly bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.